This episode of Gators Breakdown is brought to you by MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie.
Gators Breakdown. The Gators Fan Podcast. Because there's never a dull moment in Gator Nation.
Gators Breakdown Podcast is ready to go. I'm your host, David Waters, and you can find me on Twitter at GatorDave_SEC. And joining me for this episode, a little surprise guest that we had worked out pretty quick. Everybody knows Bill Sykes. You can find him at Twitter at RealBSykes. And Bill, we just cut straight to the chase here. What a fun debut for Dan Mullen, the players, and the fans.
There was no way I was missing this show after that game last night, man. Finally, we get something to be happy about. Man, that was awesome.
It
couldn't have been any better.
It couldn't. The fans were ready. There we go. There's some thunder in the background. Yeah. So hopefully the podcast keeps going through this. But, hey, plenty of thunder and lightning for the Gators last night, too, as they defeated Charleston Southern 53-6. But it was a lot of fun, Bill. The fans were ready. The fans were hyped. You could tell it was a night game atmosphere. Swamp wasn't quite full. But you could just tell. I went back and looked at it today, and there was a lot of shots of Dan Mullen coming out of the tunnel, and he was soaking it all in. He got a game ball from Scott Strickland after the game. You could tell he got a little emotional. I don't think he saw any tears or anything, but it got a little moist there. I'm sure for Dan Mullen, but you could just tell generally. Besides the game itself, we'll get into that plenty. But Dan Mullen made an appearance. I think it meant a lot to him, and it really showed on the field.
Yeah, I think if he shed tears, it was probably when he signed his $6 million contract. At least I would have. But no, he handled it great. The guy showed some genuine swagger. He really showed that he knows what's up. The guy knows what fans want to see. He knows what makes Gator football special, and he did everything he could to send the message to the fans that he's there to bring it back.
Yeah, shout out to the tailgates out there, Gator Nation Kingdom, Buddy Martin's out there throwing tailgate, and to the Harmonic Woods tailgate, fun times. And Bill, you're on the Kentucky game next week, so you'll be hitting those two as well with me next week.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, man, when you're talking about, the Swamp maybe wasn't so full or wasn't at its best, but I can guarantee you it's going to be different next week. SEC football kicks off in Kentucky, and those fans have been sent a message, and I think they're going to respond.
Hey, I will say for the fans that were there, Bill, it was an atmosphere. Like I said, there were plenty of fireworks on and off the field there. So the fans that were there, I think, were treated to some really good football by the Gators. Finally, it didn't matter given the opponent, but it was a lot of fun. And we'll get into all to it. But before we do, remember you can find all your Gators Breakdown episodes on newsforjax.com/GatorsBreakdown. Find all the Gators Breakdown episodes as well as articles from the News for Jax sports team. That's news4jax.com/GatorsBreakdown. Also, you can listen on iTunes, Google Play, YouTube if you want the video version. And when using those services, please share, rate, and review the show. Let Gator Nation know what they're getting with Gators Breakdown. And on social media, follow Gators Breakdown on Twitter and Facebook at Gators Breakdown. So, yeah, Gainesville, fun from morning until final whistle. The team came out to an excited crowd, performed like they were supposed to, Bill, in 53-6. Win over an overmatched Charleston Southern, but it was a total team effort from offense, defense, special teams. Look, we know the opponent, Charleston Southern, wasn't great, but that doesn't matter at this point, as we saw a team that was there to compete and look good doing it, no matter the opponent. Too many times in years past where it didn't matter the opponent, the Gators, especially on offense, where there was just too much struggle and nothing looked easy, but not on Saturday night. There was tempo, there was an offense with a plan, a quarterback that was getting better as the game went on, an offensive line that blocked for Franks, wide receivers and tight ends blocking down the field and making big catches, an aggressive defense chasing down plays with young players standing tall, special teams already making their presence felt in game one with blocked kicks and not missing a beat, a kicking game with the new specialists making their appearances, and something we all wanted to see, get a blowout, get deep into the depth chart as, every 2018 signee that was healthy got to play in the game last night. Valuable reps there. Pretty much everything we wanted to see, we got in this game.
Yeah, we absolutely did, just in all phases. And You know, listen, it looked like a program that had been given a bath and washed off 8 or 9 years of just horrors. You know, sure, it's Charleston Southern. Everybody knows I'm not a homer. I'm going to call it like I see it. But you can only take these things 1 week at a time. And this week, it's an A+. And that's all Dan Mullen could have delivered this week. That's all Felipe Franks could have delivered this week. And this entire team, my hat's off to them. I thought they did a great job. It gets real with Kentucky this week. It's not a team to be taken lightly. It's an SEC opponent. It's going to get more real the week after that with Tennessee, and they get bigger by degrees. But I think Gator fans, I know myself personally, I think we are completely justified in saying, you know what, whatever happens from here forward, game one with a new coach, hope springs eternal, and we now feel a little more justified for that hope.
Yeah, Bill, going into the last episode I did before the game last week, it was, hey, look, this was game one in a stretch of three games where Felipe Franks can get his confidence up, and that's exactly what happened. You have Charleston Southern, you have Kentucky, you have Colorado State to all get ready before you go to Tennessee, and I think if Felipe Franks can get better game by game, going into that first road game, then I think Florida fans can, you know, start feeling a little more confident in this team. But of course, I think we have to start with Felipe Franks and his performance. Calm, cool, collected, had a bit of a slow start, but that wasn't all on him. Franks finished 16 of 24 for 219 yards and 5 touchdowns, all in the first half. And I mentioned the slow start, and at one time, Franks was 3 of 9, 88 yards and a touchdown. There were some drops there, deflected passes. But after that, Franks went on the tear, 13 to 15, 131 yards, 4 more touchdowns, and completing his last 8 attempts. Franks knew what to do, and that was the best part. Knew where to go with the ball, making great decisions, coming off of his first read at times, placing the right touch on passes. There was a great touch pass on the touchdown to Hammond where he placed a rainbow corner throw. That's a throw that's giving him problems. In the past, and that throw was right on target. There were a couple of laser throws to Van Jefferson for touchdowns. We saw what we needed to from Felipe Franks as far as the situation goes. Overmatched opponent, this is what you're supposed to do. He went out and did it. He had great help from the offensive line and pass blocking that was, you know, giving help to Franks, giving him time to go through his reads when needed. There was some trust there. And, you know, Will Miles was big on the trust issue, and that was there. You know, you could tell Felipe Franks, once he got into the groove of the game, there was some trust there between him and the offense line. There was, you know, snapping the ball with anywhere from 25 seconds to 15 seconds left on the play clock. Tempo was big. Look, there was some trust from this staff to the quarterback to the offensive lineman, and it started with Felipe Franks.
It did. The guy completed 5 touchdowns to 4 different receivers. I think he completed passes to 8 different receivers overall. He was fitting the ball in tight windows. You saw him. I mean, screen passes are great to the perimeter, and at this point, we all knew that he could hit a deep ball or two, and those things are great. But to see him, his head swiveling back and forth, and then find an open receiver tied in over the middle of the field and complete a pass that we just haven't seen much in the last decade of Florida football. I mean, just seeing moving the chains in the passing game. I don't care that it's Charleston Southern. There's been so many times this team has struggled against opponents like this. I think it was a 3rd-and-1 versus Jacksonville State under the Muschamp era where they got stonewalled and had to punt, and then you got the Georgia Southern debacle. This was, again, and I'm only going to say this one time. Yes, it's week one. It's test one. But I was just so happy to see that for Franks. I was happy for Franks. I think we see now that there is a clear separation between 1 and 2 and then 3 on the quarterback depth chart. I think all three of those guys still have some potential to help out at Florida. But for now, I think Franks is the man, and justifiably so, and now we know why.
Yeah, I mean, we saw Frank or Trask come in and had a nice run for a touchdown with some blockers leading the way for him. But, you know, it did get ugly as far as the offense goes when those two guys came in. There were some bad snaps by the center. The offense just couldn't seem to get in the same sync. You know, they ran the ball a little bit better in the second half. But, you know, I think we may have seen why Felipe Franks was named the starter. And it makes you wonder how close it was in camp. I don't think Mullen was sandbagging too much. I think it was close. But you could see Felipe Franks, this time when the lights came on, he showed up.
Yeah, and not only in the passing game. I think he also showed that he can execute Dan Mullen's offense with his legs. He's not Michael Vick, but the guy can be effective in the zone reads and read options. And they ran a little each of those, and I think we're going to continue to see that. And if he can sting offenses 5 to 7, 8 times a game, this offense might be right where Mullen needs it to be, contingent on the offensive line.
And holy moly, Bill, what was that on the very first play? RPO. RPO.
You know, really, if you just sit back and think about the functionality, the offense, it just makes you wonder how it was ever so bad. Now, again, we got to see what we get against Kentucky, but it just seemed just systematically better. It just was cleaner and quicker. I think the reads were simplified. It, you know, and we talked a lot about last year about how Franks was unable to go through progressions and find open guys, but a lot of that falls on the quarterback to make sure that his quarterback can do that. And I read some things behind the scenes where there was some criticism of McElwain's progressions in his system about how they were difficult. It was kind of unbalanced where you were, you know, waiting for a short man to open up here after you were waiting for a long man to open up here, and that the route trees were all wrong. It, you know, and I'm not a college football coach, and so I couldn't tell you that definitively. But what we saw last night kind of lends credence to the idea that, hey, maybe a simplified system, maybe just something to let him rock and fire or run is the ticket. And because that's what we saw last night, it sure worked.
Yeah, Bill brought up the offensive line as well, and it was a mixed bag from that group, kind of different than what we expected going into this game. It was kind of nitpicking given the outcome here, but you know, the run blocking wasn't there early on. Jordan Scarlett was never really ever to get going. Malik Davis had a slow start but rebounded nicely in another drive he came in on. P. Ryan came in and had some nice runs, and definitely true freshman Damian Pierce burst onto the scene with his play and averaging 9.4 yards a carry on a team leading 8 rushing attempts. But, you know, Scarlett only coming out averaging 4 yards a carry and the offensive line not creating many running lanes was about the only real disappointment of the night.
Yeah, I think Damian Pierce is also leading the nation in broken bones administered per tackle. Because I'm pretty sure he broke every bone in that kick returner's body. That guy is a sledgehammer, man. He is going to be a player at Florida.
Hey, and something about that tackle, Bill, they said, I was listening to a lot of the post-game stuff, that's what led to him getting more carries. You know, and Dan Mullen has preached, and we'll get into it, what special teams matter to him as a head coach. But you had one player go out there and make a play on special teams. They wanted to reward him with more carries on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, you got a chance to knock out a defender every time he touches the ball. No, the guy's explosive. He looked nimble on his feet, could balance for a power back. I thought the change of direction was good. Florida's looking pretty good at running back right now, and I think he's a guy that's going to continue to command more carries. I think that some of these guys, I mean, I liked what we saw from P. Ryan, and I think Scarlett obviously is still the number one guy, but with Davis still looking maybe not all the way back yet, I think that, you know, Pierce is a guy to kind of take up the slack there.
Yeah, you know, they gave carries to a lot of these backs, so, you know, maybe in a game like that is kind of what I expected, but I know. It is what it is. You know, going into this game, and you know, the running game got it going eventually. Don't get me wrong. It's not like, you know, it was ugly or anything like that. I expected more run heavy, but as much as they let Franks throw early, it was kind of a surprise.
Yeah, the offensive line's got something to prove, though. You're right about that. I mean, they didn't exactly blow Charleston Southern off the ball. And as we get into more athletic defensive fronts here in the next few weeks, they're going to have to prove that they can get it done. I'm really hoping we see Heggy back out there. I don't think he played last night at all, did he?
I do not believe he did. Yeah.
No, I mean, I didn't, you know, I didn't see complete chaos out there on the offensive line. I did see one time when I think the center and guard kind of got blown into the backfield and allowed some penetration that kind of blew up a play. But all things considered, I mean, we'll take it. I'm just hoping for the best as we go forward.
Yep. You know, all they say, game improvement, game one to game two. So we'll see what Hevesy and Mullen can point out to that offensive line and get those guys going when the Gators face Kentucky coming up this week. Bill, you mentioned 8 players caught passes from Felipe Franks. 10 players caught passes all night long. You know, and it was how they caught those passes as well. You know, Van Jefferson with 2 really good catches in the end zone on lasers by Franks. Grimes getting sprung on the first drive of the game on a screen with great downfield blocking by R.J. Raymond and Freddie Swain. A tight ends, Kamori Gamble, also got involved in creative ways. Gamble and Kroll there, Lucas Kroll. You know, Gamble with the shovel pass that we all came to love under Mullen as an offensive coordinator. And then nice play design where Tyree Cleveland drove coverage off of Kroll for a wide open catch. It was great to see many guys getting involved and involved early.
It was. And, you know, you mentioned Swain. I believe he was the one that was returning those punts and looking good all night long. Yeah. The guy just looked like a clutch player, maybe not explosive, but he's a guy that in recent years might have been the best offensive weapon on Florida's team. And, you know, right now he's 4th or 5th best, and that's not a knock on him. It's just it's gotten a lot better there. I'm just really hoping that Franks, as pressure mounts, because it's going to mount, teams are going to bring heat there. I'm hoping he can continue this play, pace of play, because I think this wide receivers will have a chance to shine.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, just the different ways of catching passes here. You know, Franks, nice touch, lasers at times. Van Jefferson seemed to catch almost everything going his way if he didn't have a defender draped all over him, and even one where a defender was draped all over him. And Bill, I mentioned it too. It was nice, and I think you tweeted something about it last night where the shovel pass made its return.
It did. It was one of a few things. It was a tip of the hat to the Tebow, Meyer, Mullen era, you know, the Percy Harvin days and Aaron Hernandez. And, you know, I loved it. I won't mind that being a part of their repertoire as long as it's something that's going to be effective moving forward. But it was definitely part of the message that Mullen wanted to send.
Absolutely. It was, just a fun time on offense. Really needed as well to get some confidence going up, no matter the opponent. It'll get tougher. We know that. But for one night, let's go have some fun. And that's what happened. And also on the other side of the ball, hey, the defense did it as well. And what a performance by the starting defense, missing CC Jefferson and David Reese here. You know, gave up one big run right before halftime after some confusion before the snap. But a really good effort and great results. You know, last week in our preview, I picked Chauncey Gardner-Johnson as my Mr. Intangible, and he made his presence felt from the nickel star position on the very first play of the game from the defense as he comes in on the blitz and gets the sack. He was everywhere last night, and I expect big things from him in this defense. And after seeing it again last night, they're gonna put him everywhere. And he was tied with Rashad Jackson with a team-leading 5 tackles. And against a triple option attack, the linebackers looked disciplined, and the defensive line with some controlled aggression doing what they should do in dominating form. It was good to get many guys on the field in the second half, even though there was a very noticeable drop-off. Those guys need the reps, and it showed, but still some plays were being made in the backfield, but some chunk plays were given up in the second half. So, you know, in summary, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson really showed up with the starting defensive line. But all in all, a really good night on defense.
Yeah, and I would thought it was big for Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. You know, last year he was much maligned for missed tackles, and he had a lot of them at some points last year. At one point, he was leading the SEC. We know the guy can run and play in the passing game in the secondary, but to step up against a triple option team, to come away with 2 sacks, 2.5 tackles for loss, and to, you know, meet some guys in the hole and get it done, I know that had to be a confidence builder for him. That had to be something that he can build upon. And I think he's going to have a really big year. That star position, Grantham is going to demand that those guys come up and make those kind of plays in the box. And it was nice also to see Amari Burney, the freshman, make a good thump later in the game from that position. It's going to be key to that defense, and they both played well.
Billy, another player who was around the ball a whole lot, and it was a surprise last week when he was announced as a starter, but Donovan Steiner was around the ball a good bit.
He was. And this is a good first test for him as well. He's a guy that surprised in winning the starting position at that safety. And I was really glad to see him get a start in this game against an option offense to ease him in where you don't have to worry about an offense taking the top off of you so much. To kind of focus on tackling, and that's an area he's shined. And now he gets to see what he can do against a team that's going to pass a little more next week.
Yeah, and I think Kentucky's going to come in and try to run the ball too. And I think that fits Steiner as well, because as I said, he just right. seems to have a knack and a not afraid to put his hat on the ball.
Yeah, he does. He does. He's going to be good there. And again, he gets to ease in not only from a difficulty standpoint, but also just a schematic standpoint. We don't have a team that's going to come in and zing the ball around like Missouri, or, you know, I know Georgia wants to run it first, but they can hurt you in the passing game, and we're not going to have to worry about that quite yet. We'll see. I think he's got a chance to continue to make a name for himself.
All right, here we go. Special teams, of course. You know, Zachary Carter blocking the field goal right before halftime was a clear sign the special teams matter again at Florida. And under Dan Mullen, it's not just talk. A big play was given up, and then the field goal was blocked right after that going into halftime. Gators kept the momentum going there. Another block later in the game after a Charleston Southern touchdown on an extra point that led to a two-point conversion by the Gators. So, you know, after big plays for Charleston Southern, the special teams made their own big plays. And Damian Pierce, as I mentioned, earned carries this game because of the hard-hitting tackle he had on kickoff coverage. Special teams matter. Perfect on field goals as well with McPherson and Powell.
They were. Special teams were tremendous. I am going to nitpick because we need to be balanced here to a certain extent. The one place I didn't like, they're after 1 week only, of course, they're 68th in kickoff return defense. But a lot of that was we have one bad return. They gave up a 36-yarder early. All the other ones were touchbacks or, you know, ended up on the 17-18-yard line or 17-18-yard returns. Not bad at all. But sometimes in those bigger games, that one play can be the difference maker. And so that's something I'm hoping will prove to be an anomaly as they move forward. But I was ecstatic about the blocks. The blocks were a signature of the Meyer era and really even moving into the Muschamp era. It was something that was a game changer for Florida in big games and big moments. And it disappeared under McElwain. And I tweeted earlier, I think in the last 5 years, Florida only blocked four kicks. Well, they blocked two last night. That doesn't include punts. They also had a punt in the last 5 years, but it's just tremendous. It's just another thing that adds to just a well-rounded showing for this team that they're going to emphasize the things that matter in getting you to the top.
All right, we got some other things coming up here in this episode, some three ups and three downs, you know, some good things that happen, some bad things that happen. I got a couple. Bill's got some. Got a few as well. But before that, you know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. And it's usually what team to bet on this week. Truth is, I don't really know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I tell people to bet with my bookie. And trust me, guys, they are your best bet this season. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews, and an easy-to-use mobile site. So go lay down some cash and win big today. Hey, look, guys, I'd only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. So that's why I urge you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. MyBookie has in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score in each game when the NFL season kicks off next week. So join MyBookie now, and they will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code Gators to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today at mybookie.ag. That's M-Y-B-O-O-K-I-E. And don't forget to use the promo code Gators when creating your account to claim the bonus. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. And Bill also, late this Friday, launched a Gators Breakdown merchandise site with Squad Locker. So if you go to squadlocker.com, guys, you can search Gators Breakdown, find the store there, Nike apparel with the Gators Breakdown logo on it, all that good stuff. And Bill, I will have you a hat this week.
Yes! The weekend is complete for me.
It won't be a Nike one. I don't even have one of those yet. So,
sounds good, man. It's all right. I'll be honored to have it.
There we go. All right, guys. So, as I mentioned, kind of just some good things, bad things here. Three up. That's how I do mine right now. Franks, of course, Felipe Franks, one of the best players on the field. When it all was said and done, when the game got over with, we talked plenty about him. Talked more about what some things that he did as well, because he was my biggest surprise. So I'll hit that as well. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is another. One of the best players on the field last night, as I mentioned. He's just going to be everywhere around the ball in this new star position with Todd Grantham. Look, one of the most athletic guys Florida has on the team. They're going to get him in multiple places, line him up everywhere. Like that blitz that he got the sack on for the first play of the game last night, you couldn't really tell until right before the snap. He timed it perfect. He was in the quarterback's face for the first sack of the game on the very first play on defense. And Damian Pierce for me as well, the true freshman coming in, showing up. We mentioned the tackle on special teams, how he came in and led the team in carries and yards per carry as well. He was, if you guys follow the Gators Breakdown for a while, he was my favorite recruit coming in this past class. And in game one, yes, we know, we'll mention it time and time again, it was an overmatched opponent, but he came in as a true freshman, didn't get skittish, wasn't afraid to go out there and do what we know him to do, and that's be a powerful runner at the running back position. So, Bill, what's some good things you can point out?
Hey, let's do this. I'm going to read you a series of numbers, and you tell me what you think they
are. Ooh, okay.
All right. We're going to start with 111, 104, 118, 113, 105, 85, 106, 114, 115, 112, 96, 81, 89, and 123. Any idea?
Oh. Nope.
That is the University of Florida's penalties per game rank back to 2004. And they don't change or get any better beyond that. I could have kept going. I'm just trying to be brief. Florida had 3 penalties for 20 yards. They're currently tied for 4th in the nation for fewest penalties per game. That is outstanding. Probably not going to continue to that extent, but dramatic difference. And that was just a breath of fresh air last night. Hey, let's see. Florida's currently 13th in team passing efficiency. They've averaged 88 over the past 5 years. So we've already talked about the pass game. That's just outstanding. And, hey, they were 7 of 7 in the red zone. They scored 5 touchdowns, 2 field goals, 4 of those passing. That is not very Gator-like in recent years, going back to all the way to the Tebow era. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah, and Bill, if you go back to that stat last year, they started off good, but the number of opportunities weren't there, and it was a lot of field goals.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing. If they had scored 1 touchdown or 1 field goal last night, so we're 100%, it wouldn't matter. But, hey, scored 5 touchdowns in a red zone last night, 2 field goals. That's pretty daggum good.
Any more good stuff there, Bill?
We could spend all day going over the good stuff. I thought they were very disruptive with Grantham's defense. Yes, they got one play in the first half. I don't count the stuff in garbage time. Yeah. And I had tweeted that was one of the things I wanted to see because Grantham – He's one of the best at guessing play to play on the Success Plus rating. It was top 5 last year in frustrating offenses from play to play. But when they got in trouble, it was that one big play or 2 big plays or 3 big plays that goes to the house. And we saw that one time where they had 1 big chunk play in the first half. I wanted to see one or none because they're going to happen sometimes. I was happy with that.
And even on that, but it still falls on the coach's shoulders and some of the players' shoulders at a point too. They were confused. Going into that play, and probably would have been a good time for a timeout.
It's never a good thing, but there is an acceptable level of collateral damage when you're talking about a super aggressive defense and guys flying around. If he's bringing the house, you're going to give up some big plays like that. You've just got to limit them.
All right, Bill. We don't want to harp on the negative too much. It was a great night overall, but not everything was perfect. As I mentioned, Scarlett, the offensive line, just couldn't get going early. You would have liked to see them guys go out there and establish the run blocking schemes and opening up some lanes and those guys pulling and opening up some lanes. It wasn't there on a consistent basis enough. So Scarlett and the offensive line, 2 of them there. And Bill, I can't think we can go without the suspensions as well.
That's one of mine.
There we go. Yeah. CeCe Jefferson, Kadarius Toney, Kyrie Campbell, Luke Ankrum, Brian Edwards, Darius Lemons, and James Washington. We'd have liked to seen. I don't think CeCe Jefferson was going to play a whole lot anyway because of the shoulder being dinged up and stuff there. Kadarius Toney, maybe we might have seen some of the packages for him. It would have been nice. As much as Florida was spreading the ball around last night, he would have had a chance to do something with the ball in his hands last night too. Kyrie Campbell, hasn't got a lot of playing time a good bit. You'd like to see him in this Todd Grantham defense. Luke Ankrum, kind of same goes for him as well. Brian Edwards probably would have been there getting some playing time back in the secondary there. Darius Lemons, they spread out the carries pretty thinly anyway. Not really anybody took. I don't think anybody had double-digit carries all night, so not really sure how many carries he would have got. Look, that was a worry coming into the season is how they were going to split these carries up. In a cupcake game, you're going to split them up a whole lot more. So, Lemons would have had his chances as well.
Yeah, guys like Lemons, guys like even Toney, as talented as he is, with depth improving, with just overall quality improving on the roster at those positions, this is not the time to be getting in trouble. It's just not. And it's really ugly. I was going to put it in ugly under good, bad, and ugly that those guys were out, have 7 more guys suspended. I think it was various reasons there. I don't think it was just one incident. CeCe Jefferson's hurting himself. This is going to cost him some money when it comes to draft time. He's a guy that led the team in tackles for loss with 13 and a half last year. The Gators need him in there, and he needs to keep his act together so he can make money next year in the NFL. And then you've got guys like Kyrie Campbell that I think can help the team, Brian Edwards. So we need to see these guys get reinstated. I had heard on a couple of them that it could be a 2-game suspension. I don't know. I really don't have complete information on that. It's just something – when I heard about 2 of these players about 3-4 weeks ago, I heard they were out 1 to 2 games, so we'll see. But you just hope it doesn't get you in a situation where, Florida gets in a dicey position on the field and doesn't have these guys to rely on.
All right there.
Hey, one other thing, Dave.
No, I was going to ask you that, so go ahead.
Yeah, just one other thing. UF was only 2 of 9 on third down. Their 22% conversion ratio was 110th best nationally. right now. So that's something that needs to get better. They were good on defense. I think they're in the top 20, but 110th nationally, 22% conversion on third down against Charleston Southern's not good. Obviously, it's kind of a nitpick because of the end result, but need to look a little deeper at that to really understand what's happening there. That could be a number of things that are contributing. So we'll see. That's something to watch as we go forward.
Yep. All right. Bill, something else I like to do with these kind of reviews of the game the day before is drive of the game. And I think this one, you know, I was thinking, I was like, huh, you know, which one would I pick? And then it became pretty obvious. And look, it's the 8-play, 75-yard drive to open the season up. You know, yeah. I mean, come on. First drive of the game, you go and score a touchdown. Yes, it was aided by a penalty, and the Gators had to convert a 4th-and-1 to keep the drive alive. But, you know, what a way to open up the Dan Mullen era, open up the season with a touchdown. You know, the drive started with an RPO from Franks to Josh Hammond, a Franks run after nothing was open on the next play. And then, of course, you know, capped off with newcomer Trevon Grimes' first catch coming on a 38-yard screen pass with some great blocking.
Hey, man, like it or not, you know, adversity is one of those things. When something's important enough, you find a way. And when it's not, you find excuses. And if they had come off the field struggling in this game or didn't score in that drive, you turn around and say, well, it's, you know, we're just getting started or he needs more time. But they sprung the play and got a touchdown and started off his era and the season with just a whole new positive feeling. And it was just great to see Grimes house that ball. It just really set the tone for the night and the season. So hopefully they can continue that. It has to be the drive of the game to me.
I think so. You know, maybe drive of the year, Bill.
well, let's hope there's bigger things to come.
No. That's true. I'm just saying, you know, going back and looking at it, maybe what it means, you know.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I just want to see some rival fans crying on Twitter.
That's what we want. So surprise, Bill. Biggest surprise, I think, is Franks. You know, he threw early, 5 throws on the first drive, 2 were dropped, and 1 deflection. Hey, look, there were many opportunities in goal line situations where you just kind of expected Florida to pound it in, but Mullen was letting Franks fling it. You know, I think it was a lot of what the defense was giving him, but also Mullen trusting Franks and trying to give Franks some confidence. You know, so the surprise is just how much they threw Franks, or how much they let him throw in certain situations. And of course it worked out. And another one that I just thought of as we were going through this episode, Bill, is look, the emergence already of Jefferson and Grimes. How many times have we brought in these transfers? And they just don't pan out. And Florida has brought in 2 of them. We, you know, the talk of these guys have been much more than the past of, you know, of guys we think we can rely on. And already in game 1, yes, it's an overmatched opponent. Yes, you know, they could outmatch the defensive backs that Charleston Southern was throwing out there. But at least it's, you know, not the story of years past where we get these transfers coming in and we don't really ever hear from them. We've already heard from these guys.
Yeah, for me, though, as much as I agree with you about the wide receivers and to even more so with Franks, to me, the biggest surprise was just how much of a thumbprint Mullen has put on every aspect of this team on the field already. I just didn't expect that. I don't think hardly anybody expected to this extent. We just got – disclaimer again, we got to see how things go with Kentucky and Tennessee and as we get into the meat of the schedule there. But that was just a breath of fresh air. And it shows, if nothing else, he's got a plan and he's got principles and he's instilling those in these players.
Yep. Bill, I got some tweets to get into. I know you're on a tight schedule. Are you good or you want to?
I probably got 5 minutes, man.
Okay. So I'll read some of them and you can give your feedback from some of them. So, yeah, I asked the question of what you, of the Gators Breakdown listeners out there, you know, what was your reaction to the 53-6 win of the Gators over Charleston Southern? Tim Catlett sent, every single offensive player looked more fluid, confident, aware, and relaxed. Every day I am shocked as I learn just how incompetent the last staff was. I have hope as a Gator fan again.
Yeah, and as much as I really want to heap praise on the team and on Mullen for what we saw last night, it really is an indictment on what we saw out of McElwain and somewhat for Muschamp. But, you know, you just keep hearing more and more about how dysfunctional this program was and strengthening and conditioning, and I think just the offensive system. And just looking back at how they brought in Zaire to run a system that didn't fit him, and it's just – all that's gone. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. It's just so nice to see functional college football happening. And win, lose, or draw, I am convinced that Mullen may take Florida to championships or one or none, but I think he's going to make the program better. And I think he may have already done that.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, you know, I think Gator fans come out of that stadium last night and after flipping off their TV, in a way, kind of a sigh of relief. You know, it's getting better, and I think that's what it's kind of a weight lifted off the shoulders. Even though, given the opponent, there was still a lot of positive to be taken away from it, and we'll hear plenty of that as some of these comments, or most of these comments, deal with that. That aspect and that look. Josh Gatorgan says no play action on third and long. So yes, that is a welcome appearance. Gator Girl 888. Progress for sure, especially in the areas of discipline, quarterback play, defense, and special teams. Still need to see offensive line improvement and balanced pass/run game. Overall, I'm very encouraged. Much more fun to watch. So, Bill, I think that some of the key words that I also put out there last night being in the stadium, fun and encouraging.
Yeah, and more to prove. I think that sums it up. Fun, encouraged, and more to prove, particularly with the offensive line. I want to see what this front seven can do, setting the edge against quality running games. As much as I like the safety play, those guys didn't have to play against a passing quarterback last night. They've got a lot to prove this year. They're going to have to step up. We're going to have to see some good play. It's going to be worth watching to see how this goes. And I'm not ready to anoint Florida as the Cinderella team this year by any means. I feel good at taking the over and calling it for 8 wins this year. We'll see how that goes moving forward.
All right, Brett. H. Sanborn, vast improvement. It's fun again. Franks threw almost as many touchdowns as he did in all of 2017. Luca Lobotomy, that's a pretty good name there. Franks looks poised, capable, and well-coached. O-line needs to get a better push. Defense was intense and focused only once in the first half out of position. Looks like special teams has been a point of emphasis. Dot connector at Hey Brent Pope. Love the offensive creativity and play calling. Frustrated by Scarlett's ability to find holes and pick up yards. Super impressed by Damian Pierce. Josh Emery, MMA Josh, impressed with the amount of turnaround. First off, O-line did not impress me. They should have dominated a lot more than they did. Struggled getting the running lanes open. Impressed with some pocket presence and movements from Franks. Defense could be nasty. So that was another thing with Franks. He did move up in the pocket. He did evade some pressure there. That was Charleston Southern when they decided to send some blitzes. So, you know, Frank's offensive line did a good job of blocking. Hey, look, we even saw some running back pass blocking that we haven't seen in years past either. And then also Frank's being able to evade pressure at times.
Yeah, we absolutely did. And I can't wait to see what these guys do next week. We're going to be sitting there in section 11. So if you're close to that, please make sure to say, hey, but it's going to be so fun to see what they do with test number 2.
All right, Bill, I'll let you go here. I got a few more tweets to read, but any final thoughts, you know, as we put a bow on this one and heading to Kentucky next week?
You know what? Thanks to the team and Coach Mullen for giving us fans a good night of Gator football again. It's been too long, and I'm encouraged for the future. It's going to be fun to watch how this season unfolds and see the progress they make and what the limitations are of that in year one. And I just can't wait to break it down if we get a chance to do more shows like this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's Bill Sykes. You can find Bill on Twitter at @RealBSykes. Hey, Bill, I know you sprung this on me pretty quick that you can be on the show, and I wasn't going to let that opportunity pass up. So thanks for joining me here on this episode, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me. And thanks to all the fans for supporting us as we root on for the Gators and let's see what they can do.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, Bill, I'll holler at you later and go have a fun Labor Day weekend.
All right, buddy. See you soon. Right.
See you, man. All right, left off with Ryan Sardula and the tweet he sent in. And again, thanks for Bill there. So you guys hopefully can meet – a lot of you guys can meet him in Gainesville next week when he makes his trip down from Florida, Kentucky. We'll be sitting there together, like he said. So Ryan Sardula, the excitement is back under Mullen. Starters played really well, but reserves got to get better. Oh, and there is this third aspect of the game called special teams that we play now too. Almost forgot what that is like. So a lot of fans being able to point out the improvement in many of the areas for the Gators, as we saw the Swamp, Pat Rick, at Pat Rick. The Gators are getting coached in all phases of the game. Years 2 to 3, Gators will be legit contenders. Growing pains coming and should be expected, but Mullen is the man. Excitement and winning coming back to Gainesville. And good to hear from a wise old guru. It has been a while there. A great start. Lots of improvement, but work to be done. Can't wait to see how the kids handle prosperity and if they show week-to-week improvement against Kentucky. And that is a very good point there. Hey, look, their bellies are going to get rubbed. They are going to they're going to hear a lot of positive talk that they haven't heard in quite some time, even after a game like Charleston Southern. How does the team react? How does Felipe Franks react with some good talk? Like, he hasn't had this good of talk for him. You know, look, going back to probably the Tennessee game last year when he hit the bomb to beat Tennessee the bomb to Tyree Cleveland against Tennessee. While that was an ugly game, he had the big play at the end. And there was a lot of positive talk about Felipe Franks and maybe that being the spark under Jim McElwain and the spark that needed to find a quarterback. And we all know how that turned out. And it hasn't really been a whole lot of positivity for Felipe Franks since then. So I think after this game, there will be a lot of positivity. There will be a lot of good talk. Florida will more than likely be ranked in the polls now after some teams lost, after some highly ranked teams or lowly ranked teams lost this past Saturday. So the Gators will probably be ranked. They'll be talked about a little bit more with the first SEC game against Kentucky. They'll get a lot more national talk as that game comes around. And I think people will kind of jump on board with how Florida played against Charleston Southern, see that they saw improvement, and the Gators will start hearing some positive feedback. How did they react to that? And it will remain to be seen. But with Dan Mullen, the coach, and everything that he's kind of everything that we saw in game one, you kind of have to think it would lend itself that the team will be focused and ready to go as Kentucky comes to town. Now, Carlos Garcia at Big Los here, simply put, this is a different team than last year. Oh, yeah, we were right about Mac and Nuss. We had a good game plan, blah, 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 blah. So this team has a lot of position talent, and everyone was involved and playing. Total team effort, and everyone had fun, fans and players alike, and that is absolutely true, especially in the stadium. The fireworks were going off. Fans were loud. Like I said, it wasn't a complete sellout, but the crowd was loud a good bit, especially that field goal at the end of the half that was blocked there. Some of the conversions that Charleston Southern was trying to convert on those third downs and stuff, the crowd was loud. Hey, look, and the players were excited as well. I took a video. I put it on Twitter last night as the players on the sideline for every kickoff. They were, and you've seen Dan Mullen do this at Mississippi State with his players as well. The swaying back and forth and waving of the towels for kickoff. Look, the guys, I think, are having a lot of fun too. It is a whole different mindset with his staff on the field and off the field. Saturday at the Swamp. Swamp Saturday says, took care of business. Some things to be excited about, but ultimately it was Charleston Southern. Good to get out of there without too many injuries, if any, heading into the real test next week. Last decade has made me gun shy about getting too excited, but the team looked good overall. Dylan Brooks, honestly, I loved it. I especially love when Charleston Southern had that long run due to the fact I wanted to see how the Gators would respond after losing a bit of wind under their sails. They did so excellently. Wow, there we go. In my opinion. So, yeah, like I said, the way they responded after that big run, Dan Mullen talks about that. Look, it's not about the last play. It's about what you're going to do in the next play. They gave up that big run. Charleston Southern tries to kick a field goal, get some points on the board before going at halftime. Look, the game was over with by that point anyway. But they lined up for a field goal. And, look, as I just said, the game was over. And the players could have thought that way too. But they did it and went out there, blocked a field goal, kept the shutout going in the first half. That was good to see. No quit, as Mullen says, also relentless effort given even after a big play was given up there. So Mr. One Bit says that we have been to several games, and I have never heard it as loud as last night, especially during Charleston Southern's point after attempt and their fourth and whatevers. The energy definitely showed under Mullen. And speaking of PATs, we blocked two, so they actually blocked one field goal, one PAT in one game. So more than Mac had his whole time coaching there. A few more here. Mike Henry at Tennessee Gator. About time we saw some semblance of an offense. I love the energy around both sides of the ball. Remember, it was Charleston Southern, though. Hashtag excited, though. David Soderquist. It was good hanging out with him, tailgating with him at the Buddy Martin Gator Nation Kingdom tailgate. So second time we've gotten to hang out with David there. So glad here and I can hang out. He sent this in as well. Even though it was Charleston Southern, it looked like a completely different offense and team with much boosted confidence. Haven't saw two block kicks and a jump pass in a while. Franks looks surprisingly comfortable as well. And we'll see how this all unfolds down the road. And that's another thing, confidence. I was just speaking not so long ago about how Felipe Franks may respond to a lot of the positivity he'll be getting this week. But how does he respond to a renewed confidence, hopefully? Hopefully this game set him up for some confidence. And when Kentucky rolls into town, he's going to be confident in his abilities, just confident in his coaches. As I mentioned, Will Miles is big, and he released his game review article. So you guys can read that, and we'll talk more about it on the next Gators Breakdown on tomorrow. But, you know, confidence and trust, I think, are two big things. Felipe Franks has those two things. Watch out for him to be taking that next step. And then step one, Charleston Southern did a good job there. Jay Rosario, don't want to get too carried away. That being said, just based on the eyeball test, we didn't look like that against lesser opposition in recent years. It afforded younger players real game reps, which no amount of practice can replicate. There we go. Again, that's another good point there. We kind of brought it up, but going deep into the depth chart. Florida, look, go back to these games where Florida should have been maybe blowing out Vanderbilt or maybe a Florida Atlantic. It was ugly at times. A UMass game that kicked off the season that wasn't a blowout in Jim McElwain's second season. You know, there were times you could get some backup players and reps, and that wasn't the case. And now, these are what these games are for. And overmatched opponent, you're expected to go out and beat them. You're expected to go deep into your depth chart and get some guys' experience. Now with this new four-year redshirt or a four-game redshirt rule for true freshmen, that's one reason all these 2018 signees, if they were healthy, wouldn't gotten played last night. You're not worried about burning redshirts. Some of these guys are still going to redshirt, but you know what? They have some game experience, keeps them around the program, keeps them interested. They can go out there and play now and not have to worry about missing time, not playing, not getting bored, and still getting that year of redshirt. There. So all in all, very good rule for college football. Last two here, Chris Gold. Here we go. There were a lot of people doubting Felipe Franks. I'm just glad he didn't pay them any attention. Instead, he went out there, showed great improvement. He worked hard to become the starter, and it definitely showed last night. And, yep, we spoke to that plenty of times. Good there. John Nettles at Gator Pest. Aside from enjoying the game and the obvious improvements, I couldn't help but feel relieved deep down at the thought that we're finally have the right man to lead our program. And I think that's a good prevailing thought there as we, in the Twitter thoughts there. A lot of fans really got behind Dan Mullen last night. The fans were behind him anyway, but I think there's now being behind him and being confident in him all at the same time. And I think that's where a lot of that come from the fan base. When I said they kind of felt relieved after the game was over with, because it wasn't a, oh, here we go again type of performance. It was, oh, here we go again, looking back 10 years ago and what Dan Mullen could bring to the table and the type of offense he could bring to the table. It was a reason to get excited. I'm glad Gator fans had a reason to be excited. I'm glad they were excited in the stadium last night. The players fed off of it. The energy was different. And it was just a fun night overall, fun day overall, as fans were excited to tailgate. Fans were excited for the Gator Walk. The Gator Walk was crazy, by the way, really, really crazy. So good for the players to experience that. You know, they had the one in the spring game where some players had said that was the best Gator Walk they had ever experienced. It didn't match yesterday's. Yesterday's was really, really good, and the fans were really excited there. As well as the Gators ended up defeating Charleston Southern 53-6, and Dan Mullen is 1-0 as Gators head coach in his debut season. As I mentioned, he's 1-0, and we'll go through it all in the day after episodes with a look around the SEC and what happened there. You got to go back to Thursday night as Texas A&M defeated Northwestern State 59-7. Jimbo Fisher off to predicted start there when you're playing teams like that. South Carolina, all these games are from Saturday. South Carolina beat Coastal Carolina 49-15. Ole Miss beat Texas Tech there. So as in Houston, neutral site game, but Ole Miss 47-27. I kind of saw that one coming. I did pick that there. No surprise that Ole Miss, to me, beat Texas Tech there. So the Ole Miss Rebels off to a good start this season. Georgia, 45-0 over Austin Peay. No surprise there. Kentucky struggled. Florida's next opponent struggled a good bit with Central Michigan. It was, I believe they were down, they were up by one at halftime, 21-20. Shut out Central Michigan in the second half. They ended up winning 35-20. Kentucky, ton of turnovers in that game. So they can't do this against the Gators and come to the Swamp and expect to win. Kentucky will have to play better if they want to come in here next week and beat the Gators. As I said, look, that's a game where Dan Mullen knows Kentucky, face them every year as a opponent for Mississippi State. That was a permanent crossover division. So that's the one SEC team Dan Mullen knows pretty well in Kentucky. And we'll preview that game later on this week here on Gators Breakdown. I'll have a special guest on the Kentucky side, Kevin McGuffey, who will share his thoughts about Kentucky as we head towards that game. The big game in the SEC and the nation as well. Auburn defeated Washington 21-16 there up in Atlanta. So Auburn had lost two straight games in Atlanta going back to last year in the SEC championship game and the in the bowl game there where they got defeated by Central Florida. Opened up in Atlanta this year and defeated Washington 21-16. Gator fans didn't mind seeing this one at all. Will Grier, West Virginia defeat Tennessee 40-14. That was a close game at halftime. I'll give Tennessee some credit. They slowed down the game in the second quarter. They had like a near nine-minute drive to bring that within 6 points at one time. But in the second half, West Virginia just stomped on the gas and defeated Tennessee 40-14 to give Jeremy Pruitt a loss in his debut there. Missouri beat UT Martin 51-14. Arkansas beat Eastern Illinois 55-20. Mississippi State, Dan Mullen's former team, 63-6 over Stephen F. Austin. Nate Fitzgerald did not play in that game. Vanderbilt 35-7 over Middle Tennessee. And Alabama, no surprise here. None, not really. Tua Tagovailoa. He got the start, mostly played there, 51-14 over Louisville and Orlando. And I didn't expect that game to be close. And Alabama, that machine is just going to keep on rolling and rolling and rolling. And we'll see where it goes later this season. But, guys, thank you for joining me here on Gators Breakdown. As we take a look back at the Gators' 53-6 win over Charleston Southern, a lot of good insight there from Bill. So I'm glad he could join. It's a fun time. Look, we'll get to do it again next week. When the Gators host the Kentucky Wildcats, it'll be a lot of fun. As I just mentioned a few minutes ago, Will Miles will join me. We'll take a look back at his article. He had a lot of breaking down of some film and what he saw as well. So we'll get into more of what we saw from Felipe Franks and the offense and what we can expect moving forward against Kentucky this weekend. So be on the lookout tomorrow for another episode of Gators Breakdown. Fun, exciting time as we get here and start breaking down real actual football. So LSU-Miami tonight could be a good game. Reason I recorded this one early during the day. I kind of want to watch LSU-Miami. And we'll get FSU and Virginia Tech tomorrow as well. So we'll record tomorrow's episode pretty early so you guys can watch those games instead of, we competing with those. So real live actual football is much better to watch. But if you want some Gator talk, keep it right here on Gators Breakdown. We'll be here we're about 3 weeks, three episodes a week during the season. So if you're new to Gators Breakdown, that's kind of how we'll do it here throughout the season. So I'm David Waters. You can find me on Twitter at GatorDave_SEC. Find the podcast Gators Breakdown at news4jax.com/GatorsBreakdown. Guys and girls out there, thanks for listening to this episode of Gators Breakdown.